Okay. Have you touched it yet? Filled out that sheet? Clicked it through the internet? Made your picks? Are you still waiting on this podcast to decide what you're going to do? If that's what you're doing, I'm so very sorry, but at the same time, very humbled. Pleasure to be back with you on the CBSSports.com College Basketball Podcast. Had a few issues there on Friday, so I got Borzello back, and we're going to get everything brackets. I mean, this is the easiest podcast of the year to do, and we're going to get into that. But first, actually, the podcast is now selling ads, so I actually have my first live read, as they say, and we're going to kick that off here, and then we'll get going with the bracket talk. Seeking Justice, it's a Nick Cage movie, and I'm thrilled that actually the first ad I have to do is a Nick Cage movie. But yeah, it's Seeking Justice. How far would you go to take justice into your own hands? Hey, Nicolas Cage answers that in an action-packed vengeance thriller starring him, January Jones, and Guy Pearce. Seeking Justice is rated R, and it is in theaters March 16th. How about that, Borzello? How you doing, buddy?
That was unbelievable.
I thought so.
They call it live reads. Is that what they call it?
That is what they call it. And there we go. We're selling some stuff here on the podcast. It's not doing so bad.
I like January Jones, though.
Oh, I'm all about Double J. All right, let's get right into the bracket. As I said, I mean, this podcast is a piece of cake here, because we're just going to go every region, every game, just hit on stuff that stands out to us. And as much about this week as what we see going forward, we're going to try and cram as much as we can get into it here. Borzello and I will talk about our brackets, but also storylines, I guess, we'd like to see. You know, it's interesting. Kentucky-UConn is one of the biggest things that's being talked about, and the game isn't even a guarantee. I mean, it is a very interesting storyline because Calipari at Kentucky and Calhoun at Connecticut used to play each other when Calipari was at UMass, and they had a falling out in the 90s. And so now this would be an amazing game to see. Goodman's going to be there, but I'm not sure that it happens. And we get this somewhat frequently where you get an 8-9 or 7-10 where you think one team's kind of clearly ahead of the other. But I like Iowa State. What are you thinking here, Borzello?
Well, I like UConn to win it, but I agree with you. It seems like every year there's this team that underperforms, that has a ton of talent. Everyone has them saying, oh, this is going to be a great 1-8, 1-9 matchup, and it doesn't happen. This year, I just feel like UConn's, you know, they've kind of turned it around a little bit over the past week with Calhoun coming back. And I don't think they have anybody to match up with Roy Sway, but I don't think anybody does. But I don't think Iowa State can guard Shabazz Napier, Boatwright, Jeremy Lamb. So I just think, you know, Royce White will do his best, but I don't think they have too many other options to beat UConn.
Impressions of the bracket in general, just as it was unveiled last night. You know, first of all, before we get into that, it's so different now in doing it like this in writing for CBS and having to do a lot of stuff. Just so much is thrown on our plate. We know we have a lot of reactions to do,
right?
That part of the innocence is sort of gone. I mean, I remember just, you know, as we all do, being 19 and just kind of like just sitting there watching and just watching television until like 11 and kind of soaking in all the content and the analysis. But how was your selection Sunday night in terms of seeing the bracket and kind of taking it all in on first glance?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. It's like I saw the bracket and I just wanted to look at it and just kind of see different things. And then all of a sudden I realized we had to write, you know, reactions to, I mean, I had to do Drexel not making it. And then within like 40 minutes, I was already getting the emails about getting our bracket in to the site. So it was, you know, for about 5 minutes, I could just sit there and look at it and look at the possibilities and things like that. But then after that, it was, you know, time to actually analyze the bracket, look at it, make my picks and kind of move on.
Yeah. Overall, committee, you're fairly good with it. It seems like not too much. There's question marks regarding Iona, but aside from that, even seating wise,
it's not bad. I mean, the only thing I complain about, aside from, you know, maybe a couple teams not making it, is just Marquette having to play either Iona or BYU in the first round. I think that's absurd that as a 3 seed you have to play an at-large team in the first round. So I think it's unfair to them. But outside of that, I don't really see many problems with it.
You bring up a good point that actually hasn't been addressed that much. Now, personally, Iona, I don't think they're an at-large. You know, to me, I know what you're saying, and they're good. Right. Here's the thing: is Iona's really good on offense, and now that they're in, I mean, they could have a little bit of VCU in them. They're not going to go to the Final Four, but you know, VCU played in the first four last year, got on a roll. Iona's offense is good enough where if you told me they were in the Sweet 16, I would not be shocked, just because they've got one of the top 5 point guards in the country. But you bring up a good point. I mean, Marquette is a 3. You'd think should have to play a lower level school that's an auto bid, and instead they're going to get a team with a game under their legs, and BYU is certainly no 14. I mean, if they got in, they're more along the 12. I agree. That's a little unfair. What about Memphis as an 8? I think that's my biggest gripe, man. I think Memphis
that was one of the teams I was kind of two seeds off on, basically, in projected brackets. They're playing as well as pretty much anybody in the country right now. They don't have a ton of great wins, but they're just steamrolling everybody. And to me, putting them as an 8 seed is tough. And they were closer to a 9 than a 7 when you look at the committee's S-curve, which surprised me also. I think that's a really tough matchup for Michigan State. It would have been a tough matchup for any 1 seed. And I thought they would get a 6, you know, maybe even a lower 5 if you know, the dominoes fell that way.
All right, you ranked 1 to 68. The committee, you know, total props to the NCAA because they've had pressure for a decade now just to show us more of how these decisions are made and how the bracket gets put together. We're not all the way there yet, but if you had told me 3 years ago that we'd get as much information, a TV show dedicated to the brackets, a complete 1 through 68 seed listing, knowing you know, who the final four teams would be by nature of, obviously now we have the first four, I would have said there's no way we're getting that by 2012, maybe by 2015. So they're ahead of where I thought they would be. But with the 1 to 68 specifically, you had a different overall ranking. Where did you – obviously Memphis, but where else did you disagree the most in that overall 1 to 68 seeds grub?
Well, based on, you know, strictly resumes, I would have had Duke where they had it. I would have probably had him 8. But based on their ability to win games, I don't think Duke is that good. I had them – I ranked Duke 16 out of the 68 teams just based on their ability to win games. I measured it. If every team played the other 67 teams one time each, this is how the standings would come out, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I had Duke 16. I just don't think they're very good. So they were, to me, one of the biggest differences between resume and actual performance. And then I thought Southern Miss also was an example of that. I think they're terrible. I think they're going to get destroyed by Kansas State. But their resume was worthy of a 9 seed, so I can't complain about that much. But they're just not a very good team.
Yeah, and maybe that game is more likely than to tilt the other way, as we were talking about. You obviously have UConn, I have Iowa State. But the K-State over Southern Miss seems to be the biggest consensus 8-9. What do you think about the 8-9s, by the way?
I was just going to say this. They're not exciting this year.
They're not, right? And normally that's almost a guarantee. Like, I just – normally at least two, usually three, are like, that game is such an 8-9. Like, that game is so 8-9, it can't even avoid how 8-9 it is. And this year, I don't know, man. I think it's because
if you look at, like, all the projected brackets over the past couple of weeks, the brackets have basically fallen apart at the 8 or 9 seed line. That's when you get the difference between – like Gonzaga, St. Mary's, you know, teams that could win a couple of games, and Southern Miss, Alabama, you know, a St. Louis, just teams that have been inconsistent all year and aren't that good. So to me, there's a huge gap between the 7 seeds and the 8 seeds, or the 8 seeds and the 9 seeds. It's just, you know, you're not getting two really good teams at that spot.
You know, Creighton's an 8, and Creighton has the offense of a 4, but the defense of a 12. So I'm actually okay with the Blue Jays getting there, and they get Alabama. So a good contrast there. I think my favorite is UConn, Iowa State, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the Kentucky possibility. Just, you know, you're extremely aware of what Royce White can do for Iowa State. He's almost like the sidekick to Draymond Green in terms of being a bigger guy with a versatile game, right?
Okay, I can see that, yeah. I mean, he could probably handle the ball a little bit better, maybe runs the offense better, but I agree with that. He can pass, shoot, he plays inside, you know, he's their leader, he's their emotional leader, he dives after loose balls, he does everything on the court, and I think more people need to see him on a national stage, and everyone's going to be watching UConn this week, so I think a lot of people are going to see what Royce White can do.
All right, I'm looking at Borzello's bracket right now. You can get all of our picks on CBSSports.com. There's a link on the main page. Just go to Expert Picks. There's actually probably a couple there, and we've got a nice little interactive feature. And as I scroll your first round here, you and me agree with Belmont over Georgetown. Why do you like Belmont?
Well, I'm not high on Georgetown. I just
they seem like a 3 to me at all. By the way.
Yeah, I had them as a 4, but based on just they have talent, but the system they play, they don't really capitalize on that to me. I mean, if they played more of an open system, I think they would be better off against these lower seeded teams because their system, their style it enables lower seeded teams to stay in the game. And I think Belmont is a team that could take advantage of that. They're experienced, they're deep, They have a good point guard. They have the size to match up with Henry Sims. So I just think that it's not a really good matchup for Georgetown.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that Belmont's not exactly a crappy team. They're 23 ranked in KenPom, and Georgetown's number 12. So it's not like the seeding there is a little off. That is really more of a 4-13, maybe even Belmont's a 12 there. I was a little surprised by Belmont's seeding. But other than that, the only other seeding upset you've got in the first round is Murray State losing. See, you're tricky there, because that ain't popular. Colorado State over Murray State is really sneaky for an 11 over a 6. Why do you think the Racers are going to lose their second game?
Well, I think, A, that Murray State peaked too early. I think once they lost that first game, they did bounce back pretty well, but...
Yeah, they haven't lost since.
I know, but they're just not playing as well as they were earlier in the year. If you watch them, I mean, they're not, you know, pummeling teams like they were at the beginning of the OVC season. And Colorado State, to me, is playing really well right now. And I think they match up pretty well. They play, you know, they have a lot of guys that can make shots. They guard at different positions. And if Murray State is not getting 35 points from Isaiah Cannon, I don't think they're going to win.
Colorado State away from home. You've got faith there, huh?
I do. I don't know. I like the way they're playing right now. I think, you know, they match up pretty well with Murray State.
All right. What upset from the first round?
You also didn't count my – I got NC State winning, and I have Xavier winning. Those are double-digit seeds.
Okay, well, first of all, 10 over 7 isn't an upset.
You said double-digit seeds.
Oh, then my bad, man. Yeah, 10 over 7, though, that's obviously not. It's got to be an 11 or lower. Okay, so you do have NC State. What's interesting is you've got the 11 over 6 in Colorado State, Murray State, which almost nobody has, and then almost everybody has NC State over San Diego State. I totally disagree, and the only reason why I think...
What do you like about San Diego State?
I don't think Jamal Franklin is containable whatsoever. Now, listen, it's an early start. I think that's factoring in, don't you? The fact that this is going to be, what, like a 9:45 a.m. start for San Diego?
I'll be honest. I didn't even look at that.
God, you're just such a newbie. You're not even looking at when these games – that's a factor, man.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying I think NC State's a better team. Jamal Franklin, I think he's pretty containable. I think NC State has the length, the athleticism to contain him. He gets frustrated pretty easily if NC State gets off to a quick lead and he's not knocking down shots. I think he's going to take it out of the game.
How often does NC State get off to a quick lead?
They got up to like 20 on Duke, and then they got off to a lead against UNC. They're playing better than San Diego State right now. Are they not?
I don't know about that.
What has San Diego State done in the past 2 months?
They beat Colorado State, who you got winning in the first round.
Yeah, it's based on matchups. If San Diego State played Colorado State on a neutral floor, I'd go with San Diego State.
And that first round, second round thing is just so annoying.
Round of 64 and...
You know what? I have to, like, acquiesce to round of 64, but...
Yeah.
What is it, like 88.2% of the field now technically gets a bye? It's like...
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
68 teams, yeah.
Okay, well, here's the crazy thing about your NC State pick. Is that it's not just for one game. But I guess it makes sense because you've got Wolfpack versus Bruins, NC State, Belmont in the round of 32. So.
Yeah, I was torn between that. Honestly, that whole quartet, that pod,
yeah.
I was torn about it. That was like my go-to. Like, I wanted to go Georgetown and San Diego State, and then I went with NC State and Belmont, and then I had Belmont winning that game, then I switched to NC State. Like, if I had another 12 hours to think about it, maybe I would have picked it differently.
Okay.
But once I make my picks and send it in, I talk myself into these picks.
All right. From the round of 64, which upset did you not go with that you were the closest to going with? So what did you bail on? Have the stones to do it.
It's a good question, actually. I wish I could have gone with VCU or Long Beach State, but I hate their matchups.
I hear that.
I'll go South Florida over Temple. If South Florida advances,
I think California.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's why I don't pick it, because I don't want to be wrong and not even have a chance to win that game.
I know because I briefly debated Iona over Marquette briefly. But.
Like, I mean, I think South Florida is going to muck it up into a game where Temple doesn't really want to play, and if Temple's not knocking down shots, you have to basically hope Temple misses to beat them, and I think South Florida will make them miss. With that said, I think South Florida plays a hideous brand of basketball, and I didn't want to pick them. So basically outside of that, I just, like the 12-5s, I didn't see any, you know, lock upsets, which I usually see pretty quickly. Everyone's on the VCU bandwagon. Everyone's on the Long Beach State bandwagon. But I don't really see those happening. I think they're bad matchups for those teams.
Yeah, I agree. Which upset of all the ones out there, which do you think is the most popular right now?
Long Beach State over New Mexico. Because not a lot of people have seen New Mexico. And B, everyone says, oh, Long Beach State, I think I've heard of them. They played UNC earlier this year. Let's go with them.
There's something to that, too. I mean, I'm always interested by the sociology behind a lot of these upset picks because there's a few different methods. And I'm not even talking about the secretary picking the laundry or anything like that. I'm talking about
– I do think this is where I don't really agree with East Coast bias that often, but I think this is where it would come into play. Like, a lot of people have not seen New Mexico play.
Right.
And, you know, so if you haven't seen a team – like, same with Wichita State. You know, people saw VCU make a run to the Final Four last year. They probably haven't seen Wichita State play this year. And, you know, why not? If they probably saw the CAA title game and they saw VCU look really awesome for 20 minutes.
Did you see where I put New Mexico?
Oh, I have them in Elite Eight. Do you have them in Elite Eight?
I do have them in the Elite Eight.
Well, yeah. Podcast 5 for that.
Okay. Why do you like New Mexico in the Elite Eight?
Love New Mexico. I've just been on the bandwagon. I think they're deep. You know, they have a ton of shooters. They have Drew Gordon down low. You know, they play defense as well as anybody in the country.
So, dudes, I love the way New Mexico plays defense.
Yeah,
it's fallible. I feel like they're just never going to – a team would have to have such a hot day from three to run New Mexico out of the gym.
The only way to beat them is to knock down threes, and they only give up, you know, like 30% from three. And that's the way to beat them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I the thing that I – that gave me pause was picking Steve Alford over Tom Izzo in the Sweet 16. That just seemed weird to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't think Michigan State's coming out of that bracket. I just don't think there's any way.
Hey, listen, I didn't even have to deal with that dilemma because I have Memphis or Michigan State.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Memphis is going to be able to take a punch.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Listen, I mean, I think sometimes I just can't get out of my own way with these things. And I think we all feel that way. Everyone listening, you do these brackets and no matter your approach, some people like to do it right away and go with the gut and just say, I'm going to put the brackets off to the side. I don't even want to look at it until Thursday morning. And others can't help, but like, they're like, okay, I'm going to just study for 2.5 days. Yeah. We've all done that. Of course we've done that. And then, like, you're leaning over the countertop in the kitchen at, like, Wednesday at, like, 9:30 and slaving over these picks, and you just can't get out of your own way. With Memphis, I've seen how well they've looked. I've bought into Barton. Listen, Joe Jackson, man, sometimes I watch that kid play, and I'm just like, that's awesome. And then other times I'm like, how are you the starting point guard for me?
Like, if they get frustrated with Michigan State out-fizzling them, maybe, I just think they're going to fall apart. I mean, that's when you see they still do have these selfish tendencies and things like that. And if they get down early, I think that's when you'll see it come out.
And the thing is, I do this and I'm like, here I am picking against Tom Izzo in the freaking round 32. What the hell's the matter with
it? I felt like an idiot. Like, New Mexico beating Michigan State, Tom Izzo losing to Steve Alford, no way.
Right. But you know what? Let's just roll with it. Because I also was like, you know, listen, Memphis, in my opinion, is a 5 anyway. So this is a Sweet 16 game as far as I'm concerned. And maybe I take him in that spot.
I also think I'm intrigued by that 8-9 matchup. I don't think it's a great matchup for St. Louis.
Listen,
but
yeah, no. Hey, listen, but St. Louis plays D and boom.
I mean, I saw them in Atlantic City this week, and they're a nuisance to play. I mean, they run 30 seconds of offense every possession. They guard you like you wouldn't believe. And I mean, they scout you tremendously.
Yeah.
And they're going to take away Memphis's first two, maybe two options. And I don't know. I mean, I think Memphis will have enough offense, and I just think they're playing well right now. I think they'll be able to beat them, but you know, it's not as easy as a pick as I thought it would be.
Yeah, well, we'll see if Majerus gets his guys ready, because there is something to be said for the fact that they're playing in the tournament for the first time. And that is also something that I sometimes take into account, is that you've got these teams, and if they're playing in the tournament, if that group hasn't been in the NCAAs in three or more years, basically, usually if the senior class, I guess, hasn't been to the NCAAs, you got to consider the fact that it's not just that they're going to the tournament. I mean, it's such an exciting thing, but these are 19 and 20-year-olds that are – I mean, listen, I'm 30, and I'm geeked like a little schoolgirl to go cover this thing, okay? Imagine being 20 and actually playing in the thing. They're taking charter flights, a lot of these for the first time, these younger teams. It's just a different travel experience. When you go to the games, you can't – you're not in your home gym, so you don't get to – actually feel and touch the basketballs until like 40 minutes ahead of time, right before the game. It's just a different
experience. You really think about this stuff, don't you?
I think that has a factor, don't you?
Think about times of games, charter flights, sleeping in hotel beds.
I think that's part of it. Now, some teams, it doesn't matter. Like, if you've had experience. But other teams, I think it could have a little bit of an effect. I mean, there's a wowing factor to it as well. I mean, just the NCAA stuff that's all over these sites, and you're just like, wow, like, we're really here. This is really great. And sometimes it can just throw a team out of what it wants to be for the first 10 minutes because they're thinking about the fact that they're in the tournament, and I think that can have an impact. Sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it does. And I always find it interesting which teams can overcome that. Real quick, my round of 64 upsets, we don't have to expound on them too much, but we both had Belmont. I have Davidson over Louisville. Maybe a little bit of superstition on my behalf because I saw Louisville as a 4 seed last year lose in the round of 64 to Morehead State, so I'm going to go see them again. And I like Davidson, who beat Kansas this year. And Louisville's not a 4, man. I mean, listen, they're good. Siva had a great New York Big East tournament. He did, but I don't know. I kind of took a flyer there. Are you? Can you see it, or do you pretty much disagree with that?
I can see it. The thing is, I mean, I didn't pick any 13s over 4s, but I could see pretty much all of them actually happening. I could see Davidson beating Louisville. I could see New Mexico State, maybe not, but I mean, Montana, I think against Wisconsin is gonna be a great game.
I see it now. I see 59-54 Wisconsin. Not that
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can see it happening. I don't think it will happen, but I don't know. It seems like it could happen.
I thought about I took Michigan, but the other 13-4. I thought long and hard about Ohio Michigan. I think that game is going to be close with 2 minutes to go. You all right over there, man?
Hey, what'd I do?
It sounded like you fell over.
Really?
Yeah, it sounded like you fell over.
I didn't even move.
All right, good deal. All right, so that's a round of 64. Before we move on to what we've picked and what else we're looking for, but give me – I wrote about the top five must-see games for Thursday and Friday, and whether you disagree or you agree, give me your top three, since you'll be on doing couch duty. Top three you're looking forward to.
Wichita State, VCU.
Absolutely.
New Mexico, Long Beach State. And I'll go with – I mean, I'm obviously looking at Belmont, Georgetown because I picked that. But I think Marquette versus whoever they play is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I get two of those. I'm lucky. Really? I get New Mexico, Long Beach State, and VCU, Wichita State, and Portland.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a bad pod for you, man.
And I get Davidson, Louisville, and Indiana, New Mexico State, which isn't a great round of 64. But then you get Indiana – if they can win against Wichita or VCU, and that's a really good Saturday game. You know, Portland games are Thursday, Saturday, so that could be
which region are you doing? You're going where for the Sweet 16?
I go Portland and I go Phoenix.
Not bad.
No, it should be good. I love the West, man.
Yeah, that's I think seven teams could win that region.
Exactly, and there's so many good players in the region. Yeah. Every single team, by the way, Long Island at a 16, I think they're a 15. They've got Julian Boyd, who's a good player. Every single game has got a good player.
Yeah.
And I don't think Michigan State is beating Long Island by 20. Like, I think Michigan State's going to win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't have to tell me about Long Island. Kidding me?
Exactly. Your boy from Long Island, I know. Yeah. I have to tell you about these things. I understand that. Round of 32, what's your biggest upset in there?
I have NC State going to the Sweet 16, but I don't have too many upsets. If I had to pick one that I didn't pick for the bracket, I might pick Xavier over Duke.
I have that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good pick. I don't think Duke is going to be able to guard Lyons or Holloway.
Not at all, dude. No.
And, like, they can't guard, you know, Snare and Dilkeys. Like, they're not going to be able to guard two Holloway and Mark Lyons. And, you know, I think Xavier might have their swagger bag right now, and Duke, you know, hampered with Ryan Kelly not playing. I don't know how healthy he's going to be. I think if I had another hour to make my picks, I probably would have picked that.
So otherwise, you didn't take any other chances? Do you normally do, though? Did you get conservative on us this year?
No, not really. Like, that's the thing. I wanted to pick. Going into it, I was like, all right, I'm picking. I'll say going into a week and a half ago, I would have said, all right, I'm picking like a 14, two 13s, three 12s, and then they all lost. Oral Roberts lost, Drexel lost.
Right.
They all lost. And the 12s I like, VCU and Long Beach State, are having terrible matchups.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I just – the teams that I would have liked to pick, that I envisioned myself picking, just don't have good matchups. And that's unfortunate to me.
Well, I did get a little crazy here. And I just was like, on a certain level, I was just thinking, this has been a very nicely seeded field. Is it going to be something where – the seeds play up to potential, or are we going to have somewhat of a mess on our hands?
You have every six seed in the Sweet 16.
What's up?
You have every six seed in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I took some chances here.
You didn't take that many chances. You know, it's not like you went nuts.
Six, all the sixes in the Sweet 16.
You made fun of me not going out on a limb. You didn't have anybody above a six seed. You had Xavier.
I had Xavier, and I have Memphis. Come on now. Come on now.
You took some chances.
I did. And I've been high on Vegas all year.
Peaked too early.
I know you and you're peaking too early.
I've never thought about peaking too early until now, and all of a sudden I think everyone.
For the record, end of season performance does not correlate with NCAA tournament performance. What's up?
Thought the Villanova.
Villanova exception to the rule, but in general, I mean that's been proven.
I never thought about that before. I don't know why I'm thinking about it now. I'm trying to talk myself into these picks, and my reason for picking against UNLV is peaking too early.
Okay, why'd you take your final four is Kentucky, Syracuse, Carolina, Marquette. So you went if outside of picking four number ones, I think the most common two final fours are 3-1s and a 2 and 3-1s and a 3. And you went 3-1s and a 3. So why Marquette? Did they not peak too early?
No, they didn't peak too early. I mean, I guess if you want to pick a team that did do that, it would probably be them. But in my opinion, I just think they create so many matchup problems all across the court. Like them against Missouri, I think they match up really well. And I think they're better at what they do than Missouri is going to be. Like, I think Missouri's going to want to run with Marquette. And I don't think it's going to work out very well for them. You know, they're not a running team. I think Marquette is, you know, basically a track team when they get going. And I just think, you know, the way they create matchup problems, Jay Crowder and Johnson Odom, I just think they're really tough to beat.
I've got Kentucky, Missouri, Ohio State, Carolina. I have Missouri because I guess I'll just run over our Elite Eights here. I've got Kentucky over Vegas, Missouri over New Mexico, who I have beating Memphis. I've got Syracuse, Ohio State, and Ohio State over Syracuse. And I've got North Carolina over Kansas in my only 1-2 hold to form region for the Elite Eight in the Midwest.
It's the only 1-2 I have. I have ones over threes in the other ones. I have 1-3 in the other ones.
The reason why I like Missouri in the Final Four is because they're the number one adjusted offensive team on KenPom, and that team.
Of course.
Hey,
I'm kidding. I look at KenPom for everything.
I know, but I'm saying 6 out of 7 years that team has won the title, either
really?
Because for one or two, and yeah, in that category. So I don't know if Missouri is going to win the title. So I kind of just went with the median there in a certain way and saying, well, I don't know if they're going to win the title, but if they're this good, history says they shouldn't bow out too early. And the only team that bucked that trend was UConn last year. And I think the further we get away from that national championship and that tournament, we're going to notice that it was kind of an aberration of sorts. So that's why I put Missouri in. Plus, I for as much as I like New Mexico and as much as we've had some surprise Final Four teams, I never have the guts to really go with a seed below a four to get into the Final Four, so I couldn't do that again, you know.
All right, question: why do you like Ohio State so much? I don't think. All right, this is where I disagree. I just
numbers
think,
game. I'll tell you what, I have issues here, and that I can't put three number ones in, so that's part of it, which sucks. That's a stupid reason, but it's just as stupid as any other reason that anybody else goes with. But go ahead.
I would have picked, you know, if you're trying to pick a non number one, I would pick Florida State. I think Florida State is going to beat Ohio State. And then, I don't think Ohio State has any chance of beating Syracuse. I just don't think they can shoot.
Florida State has the widest variance of outcome in this.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they can
lose to St. Bonaventure. They can absolutely lose to St. Bonaventure because their offense can dry up. Listen, they've been so good. They've beaten Carolina and Duke four times this year, and they've looked really good. But do you remember how they were in the tournament last year? Brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I just can't, I do not trust Florida State. There were two things.
They did make the Sweet 16 last year.
They're still brutal. Two running commentaries from this year that I stuck with. That I was high on Vegas, and I was low on Florida State getting to the second weekend. And I kind of stuck with that, and that's why I took Cincinnati over the Seminoles. And if they get there, I'm not going to be surprised. I was like, you know what? I'll take the Noles to win one game, and then I'll sell there. But there, I think. Do you think they're the most popular non 1-2 Final Four team, or do you think it's Marquette? It's not Baylor, which is a little shocking. I thought Baylor might be a little more surprising, but you put them in Kentucky's region, and that's what makes it tough. In any other region, I think Baylor might be the sexy three to put in there.
I've seen Vandy a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, I mean, like in the chat today, it was Parrish, a ton of people said Vandy. I don't see why.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, they're okay. I have them defeating Harvard actually easily.
You haven't beaten Wisconsin. You're Wisconsin boys. They're going
to
beat them.
I do, and here's and wow. I liked Vandy to start with, and I'm like, you know what? They won the SEC title. I know, and the thing is, whoever loses that Vandy-Wisconsin game, if they do play each other, I mean, the coach is just going to get a little bit of crap there because Stallings, obviously, we know that Vandy's had a lot of first-round bowouts, and Wisconsin, while it's not considered, you know, a top 15 team, or if it is, it's barely that, you know, Bo Ryan has never made a Final Four, and his teams have been good, but they've never been great. And if he loses again, I mean, he's not in trouble. Neither of those guys are in trouble with their jobs or anything like that, but it's just, you know, a more of their tournament
energy. I think Wisconsin – If you can shut down John Jenkins, I think Vandy's offense goes completely MIA, and I think Wisconsin will have something for that.
Yeah, I tell you what, Harvard's got no shot.
I hate their matchup. I hate
Keith
it.
Wright is going to get. I texted Yanni Huffnagel, one of the assistants who you know well, and I said, see if you can run a bear from the zoo and have him wrestle Keith Wright because he cannot handle Festus Ezeli. Oh. He's got no shot.
It's just a tough matchup for them. I mean, if they played, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at the five seeds. I don't think they can beat any five seed. But if, like, San Diego State snuck up to a five seed, I think Harvard could beat them. But it's just a bad matchup for them. I don't know.
What's the ugliest? Like, obviously the 116. So from a 6-11, 7-10, 8-9, which of those is
this
the
game?
Most unappealing to you?
Not
ugly, but just, like, you look at it and you're like, I know it's the NCAA tournament, but even I don't want to watch that. Like, wasn't Temple Penn State last year was that in the 2011 tournament.
Like, I think Kansas State Southern Miss is gonna be like that.
That's a good point, man.
The game is hideous. I mean, I think Kansas State's gonna.
It really is.
Kansas State's gonna beat them by like 20, but it's not gonna be fun to watch. Like, Kansas State isn't good offensively. They're just gonna throw it off the backboard, throw everyone out of the way, and then get putbacks. That's what they do to win. And I mean, Southern Miss is not good.
Yeah.
I don't know. That game is just like awful to me.
I tell you, St. Mary's Purdue.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one too.
It should be better. And St. Mary's is better than a 7, I think. They're probably a 6. Not much better, but at a 6. I don't see a lot of people taking Purdue.
I don't see a lot of people taking Virginia over Florida either.
Neither do I. But have you noticed – I haven't tracked this. Is Florida over Missouri, is that, like, decent, or is that not getting a lot of traction?
It's getting more than – like, I thought people would pick them to win a couple of games, but I just didn't think they would pick them to beat Missouri. Like – They run the same exact thing. They're mirror images of each other. Mm-hmm. They run, you know, kind of the 4-in-1-out deal. And Missouri just does it a lot better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I don't think it's close. And I was talking to a coach last week, and he said, two teams with the same style, you never want to be the team with less talent.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, it's common sense. If you do the same exact thing as somebody, and the other team does it better, you're not going to win that game. And I don't see what way Florida wins that game. If Beal scores 30 and Boynton scores 30, maybe. But I don't know. It's just – it doesn't look good to me. Like, Eric Murray – it's a game where Pressey's going to run – you know, Pressey and Denver are going to attack the rim. Patrick Young's going to get 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes, and we're going to get 25 minutes of Cody Larson.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the way to beat Missouri.
It's true. I agree. What do you
– Goodman's got them in the Final Four.
Wait, Florida?
Yeah. He's got good Florida in the Final Four.
You kidding me?
I'm looking
at
it right
now. Oh my gosh!
This was his reasoning. Florida's an enigma, but the Gators are playing well of late, and as long as Bradley Beal continues to get the ball from Irving Walker, Billy Donovan's team is dangerous enough to win 4 straight.
He just can't get off it. He can't.
I had them in Final Four preseason and midseason. I got off the bandwagon like 2 weeks after that.
Exactly.
I'm not looking back. There's no way they're gonna win 4 straight against good teams.
Oh, brutal. They were 2 last year and they were overseeded. A quirky one here. Of all the 116, 215s, what's got the best chance of being close with 2 minutes to go?
Interesting. I think there's a bunch of them, actually. I mean, I think Detroit's going to lose by about 15 to Kansas, but like, I think it'll be close for about 25 minutes.
I think slaughtered.
You're going to get slaughtered?
I do. And they're talking trash. Did you see it?
I thought it was weird.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
You're Thomas
Robinson is the last person in college basketball you want to talk trash to. The last person.
He might score like 40 and 20.
Yeah. It's gonna.
Like, all right, I think Lehigh will hang with Duke for a little bit.
I want to believe that, but
yeah, they lost by single digits at the Breslin Center this year. The only team to stay within 10 points there.
Good
besides
point. Remember Duke Belmont like 5 years ago? I'm hoping
CJ McCollum might be the best all-around guard in that game.
Yes, he is. All around, yes, he's better all around than Austin Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, and then 116s. I don't mean.
I think.
All right, Timmy. All right, this is. I think that LIU got seeded poorly as a 16.
Right.
And
they got a decent matchup. If they had to pick anyone, I know they'd want that team more than the other one. So that's something.
I think that game will be close for a little bit, and I also think I know Syracuse is gonna end up dominating NC Asheville, but I do think that UNC Asheville, their guards will keep them in the game for maybe a half.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm more, I guess, I don't know what the difference between Bull and Bear is. I'll say I'm more optimistic about the 16s than most years.
What, you don't know the difference between Bull and
I get them confused all the time.
You're a Bull. You're aggressive.
I was going to say I'm more
Bear, you're defensive.
On the 16s. I'm more bullish on the 16s than usual.
Oh, come on, man. All right, we'll wrap it up here. But any lingering thoughts with you on the bracket in general that we haven't touched on that you've...
I'll say it's interesting that we spent 35, 40 minutes, and we only talked about, like, first-round games, second-round games.
Well, I know. Well, I did that, one, because I have to do this again with Goodman and Parrish. Okay.
All right, all right, give me your reasoning for picking your champion and your championship.
Okay. All right, yeah, that's right, because you wanted to touch on Ohio State real quick. I have Kentucky because I've had him since the beginning, and I didn't want to get off that, although a part of me is really uncomfortable with the fact that everyone on our site except for Dennis Dodd has Kentucky.
Who has the craziest bracket I've ever seen.
I know, and he has Syracuse winning it all. So, hey, listen, if it happens, he's brilliant. So Kentucky kind of explains itself. And for a good while, I was on I'm talking like from 2000 to like 2008, I was like 7-for-8 and picking national champions and only missed when Syracuse won in 03 or something like that. But I took Ohio State because I still think that this team is – really good defensively, capable of playing well at this time of the year, knowing what they did last season. And I think that they would handle Syracuse's zone relatively well. And I have them going against.
Really?
Yes. Not great. Listen, I think Sullinger.
Can't shoot.
Yeah, but no, but they've got. I trust their shooters from. I mean, I trust Buford to do some decent stuff there. And I think that, listen. If you can break it down, and it's so much harder said than done, I think that they would just kill Syracuse on the defensive glass, like murder them. And I think that's could be the where it comes to an end. But as I said before, part of this was I did not want 3 number one seeds in my Final Four.
Right.
So that was also just me taking going out on a whim there and going there. And then, yeah, Ohio State I took over Carolina because I look at Carolina, two things. One, now it's again. Here we go. It's all Kentucky, Carolina, like at the start of the season.
Right.
And part of me wants to say, "Nah, too good to happen. Not going to happen." I don't trust Carolina sometimes. Barnes, I've got. Come on, man. Like sometimes it's just like he's. My brother was watching.
He's a 6'8" jump shooter.
My brother was watching the ACC title game with me, and he's like, "Barnes is so smooth." And I'm like, "That's the problem. Is that he looks so smooth that people think he's better than he is." Like. Yeah. Sorry, but he's not nearly as aggressive as he should be, and even sometimes his shot isn't that reliable.
Right. He's good in like the 17-18 foot range.
Yeah. So this was me saying, listen, I like Carolina. I try and go big picture with it sometimes. I like Carolina, but I don't like them enough to get them to the title game. So I'll kind of hedge that and I'll put them in the Final Four. What about your mindset for your title game?
All right, Kentucky, like you said, kind of self-explanatory. I just think like I said on the site, like I go with the team I can't envision losing at all.
Right.
Sometimes there's no team that I could like Ohio State last year. I could see them losing, but I picked them anyway. This year, I just don't see Kentucky losing. And I don't trust Syracuse, UNC, any of those teams to win 6 games.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes the tournament great, though, is we can't see Kentucky losing until Kentucky loses, and then we're a little surprised by it, and then it's awesome. So.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Syracuse, I know they've been kind of taking on water lately, but I don't see what team in their region is going to give them a lot of trouble. Like I don't think Vandy or Wisconsin's a team that's going to beat them. Kansas State, people say, oh, they're a great offensive rebounding team, but Kansas State's not going to beat Syracuse. And then Ohio State, I don't think they have the shooters to beat the zone, and I think Florida State's going to beat Ohio State. And then, like you said, like I can't picture Syracuse losing to Florida State either. UNC, I just think they're playing basically their best basketball of the year now. Yesterday's loss, not counting that, but if they get Henson back, I think I'm not a huge Kansas guy. I'm still not sold on them at all. I think Thomas Robinson can be, handled well by Henson and Zeller and those guys down low. And then Syracuse, North Carolina, I don't know if UNC doesn't have shooters. And you mentioned Barnes. He's probably their best shooter, and he's been inconsistent. PJ Harrison's inconsistent. And against the zone, you know, Kendall Marshall's vision will be helpful, but it's, you know, there's not going to be the backdoor cuts he's going to find. And in transition, you know, Syracuse can run with UNC. Mm-hmm. And that's where UNC really usually runs teams into the ground. Syracuse can run with them, in my opinion.
I agree.
And then Kentucky-Syracuse. Again, I don't see Syracuse winning six games in a row. And I think Kentucky, you know, they're just too good. I mean, it's something about them. They're just too good, and I think they're going to beat Syracuse because they don't have a weakness, in my opinion.
Well,
their weakness is, I guess, 3-point shooting.
Right.
But they still shoot like 37% from 3-point range, which is like 50th in the country. Yeah, it's not that big of a weakness, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they don't have an array of 3-point shooters. It's not boom, boom, boom all across.
But, you know, if you get Darius Miller, you know, Deron Lamb, they're going to make shots.
Right. Yeah, they just don't have three viable options at this point. So you go to Dayton, you're doing the first four. What time you leave tomorrow?
My flight's like 8:30 in the morning.
Good deal, man. That should be pretty cool. I mean, listen.
Barack Obama and British Prime Minister.
That's
Howard
right.
Trio.
That's right. El Presidente.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty cool. You'll have to, you know, get right about the security detail that's surrounding the first four. surrounding the first four. And I think it's pretty cool that he's going, so that should be that should be a blast.
I don't know which day he's going. Do you know?
I think it's Tuesday.
Oh, cool. So I guess I get to the arena 7 hours before the game.
And then you get my boys, Vermont Catamounts. I grew up 10 minutes from the campus, so I'm open.
I was at the game on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Good luck. I hope you're bringing some good luck to the Cats there and first year coach John Becker. So
I have to beat Lamar. Don't you worry.
I do too. I do too. So it should be a good time, man. All right.
I get to see BYU Iona, so that's great.
That's gonna be a blast, and of course the Delta Devils. So you can't
South Florida, I guess.
Exactly. So. Oh.
That's another game that's hideous, by the way.
That's brutal. But no, that should be pretty good. All right, man. That's going to do it here. We will have podcasts throughout the week. Goodman Parish will be on Wednesday, and I might sprinkle in a Tuesday podcast or a Thursday. With travel, it's going to get a little trickier, and I'm trying to navigate some pretty big-time guests here. Don't want to spoil anything or jinx it, so...
Well, I'm not big-time?
No, absolutely not. But I knew we could talk about this so naturally the Monday after, and plus we recorded that podcast on Friday that never went to air, so... I owed you, man. See, I got your back. It's all good. All right, we will talk to you then. Thanks so much for listening. Get those brackets filled out, and good luck.